across western Kentucky and southern portions of Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana. Low temperatures tonight will range from the mid-20s across Wisconsin to the upper 40s in southeastern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois, a red flag warning in effect for central and east central Illinois until 7 this evening. A red flag warning means that critical fire weather conditions are either occurring now or will shortly. The forecast this afternoon, sunny and breezy with a high of 65. The wind from the northwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 30 to 40 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, the low 34. The wind will be out of the northwest from 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 this evening, decreasing to around 10 miles per hour after midnight. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, and breezy. Look for a high of 52. The wind from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with areas of frost after midnight. The low, 33. The wind from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, sunny with a high of 55. The wind out of the north from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with patchy frost after midnight. Expect a low in the mid-30s. The outlook for Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. At noon central time, temperatures ranged from the upper 50s to the mid 60s. At Rockford, 59 degrees. At O'Hare, 60. It was 61 at Bloomington, 63 at Mattoon. In Carbondale, 66. South Bend checked in with 57 degrees. It was 63 at Lafayette, 64 at Indianapolis, and Terre Haute reported 66 degrees. Willard Airport reported a sunny sky at the top of the hour, 65 degrees, the dew point 20, the relative humidity 17%, the wind out of the northwest at 21, gusting to 31, and the barometer 30.09 and falling. At 12:39, 63 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Several schools in Champaign County have adopted a nationwide anti-obesity initiative. As part of our series on efforts in the region to increase health and wellness, Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports on how Kerry Busey Elementary School has incorporated nutrition into its curriculum.
Do me a favor. Everything you thought you knew about elementary school, put it aside for a second. If you visit Kerry Busey Elementary School in Champaign, there's a good chance that you'll learn something new. You'll probably hear students talking or even singing about nutrition.
I love you. You love apples. Remix. Wiki wiki we eat fruit. You should too. We also eat vegetables with you. That's what you're supposed to do.
Those are fourth graders Paige Rowan, Ariani Smith, and Lily Smith. Their music teacher Mariah Burt has the entire class compose rap music related to health and wellness. Some students even use body and vocal percussion, like beatboxing.
Eat your vegetables so you can be healthy, so you don't get cavities, oh yeah.
So what?
It's one way Kerry Busey has changed its curriculum since 2009. That's when it began implementing an initiative known as the Coordinated Approach to Child Health, or CATCH. CATCH schools get state money over 3 years to revamp lunch menus, add new gym equipment, or expand nutrition education in the classroom.
Don't use cable, go and run. Eat some carrots, have some fun. Play some basketball, play some soccer. After you're done playing some sports, go and have some water.
Bert says the music you're hearing doesn't just stay in the classroom.
Sometimes a kid will be sitting at lunch and see another kid bring a candy bar and say, hey, remember the rap we did the other day? You're not supposed to be eating that whoa food. You're supposed to be eating the carrots on your platter because that's a go food.
So before we go any further, we should probably define the three levels of foods the students at Kerry Busey are learning about. You heard Mariah Burt mention go foods. Those are foods considered most healthy, like fruits and vegetables. Then you move down the ladder to slow foods, like yogurt and cheese, which should be consumed in moderation. Finally, that takes you to woe foods like candy and salty snacks, which are reserved strictly for special occasions. Remember, it's all about moderation. There's a big poster in the lunchroom outlining these different categories. Gym teacher Wendy Starwalt rewards students with prizes if they eat plenty of go foods during lunch. And to avoid an overabundance of woe foods, Starwalt says the school has designated days once a month for birthday treats.
It was hard for parents to understand why their child couldn't bring cupcakes on their birthday, and we had to help our kids understand why that was happening. So now we're 3 years into that already, and a lot of teachers on the actual birthday have come up with celebrations that don't involve food.
Starwalt came to Carrie Busey a few years ago after teaching at Dr. Howard Elementary School in Champaign. That was the first school in Champaign County to test out the three-year Catch initiative. But the school wasn't able to sustain it after those initial 3 years. Starwalt says that's because only a few staff members were trained to teach a curriculum centered on health and wellness, and those teachers, like Starwalt, left the school. To avoid that outcome at Carrie Busey, all employees went through Catch training.
Fiber cleans the places in your body where food passes. And fiber is great because it makes the chances of getting some types of cancer go away.
Elizabeth Wells, a second-grade teacher at Carrie Busey, she's in her second year of teaching the Catch curriculum. She shows her students how to make a high-fiber snack.
Now, this is rice and corn flakes. And we know that this is high-fiber, even though it doesn't say in big words like a Raisin Bran that it's fiber, because it is from wheat. And is wheat grown?
Yes.
And we learned fiber are things that are grown, but doesn't come from an animal.
The class goes through additional ingredients. As they do, I walk around surveying their knowledge about fiber.
Well, it cleans your body, and it also helps you to get healthier.
It lowers our chances of getting cancer.
You should eat more fiber than, like, fat.
Fiber, not fire.
Fiber than junk.
Those were the responses of David Cardo-Ranella, Zakiya Billings, and Tyree Keys. When the bell rings, the kids head out, taking their bag snacks. Wells says after a year of teaching Catch courses, she thinks more of her students are aware about what they're eating.
And honestly, as an adult, after teaching this for a year, I'm a little more aware and conscious of what I'm eating and looking at the labels in cereal boxes and things like that. So it's even helped me as an adult.
After school is over, about 40 kids pack into the music room. Music teacher Mariah Burt welcomes the group to the first day of dance club.
Now you are all a part of a healthy team and a healthy family that's going to help each other feel good about what we're doing and make sure that you help other people follow those directions.
After going over the rules of dance club, Burt leads the class in some movements.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stomp, clap, clap, stomp, clap. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, Talia, Atira, Akyla, go in the hallway with Grace and Katie. Work on that right now.
Out in the hallway, right outside the music room, a group of parents watch as 11-year-old Grace Rispoli teaches her peers the dance moves, mimicking what their teacher was just doing.
Now remember, the thing is that sometimes I even forget the second stomp. So we have to remember that, otherwise it won't look the same. And we can't clap first, we have to stomp first.
Nikki Hillier is the Wellness and Health Program Coordinator for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. She monitors the Catch initiative in Champaign County. So far, 5 schools in her area have taken part in Catch. While Hillier says the work to educate kids about nutrition may start at the schools, it shouldn't end there.
You don't want to undermine everything that you've done all day at school by sending them home and, you know, they're having fried foods and, you know, pop for dinner. So it's very important that the parents are on this journey with us.
After all, once these kids grow up, it'll be up to them to teach the next generation about what it means to make healthy choices, one step at a time. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
To watch Mariah Burt's class perform and for more information about the Catch Initiative, visit willconnect.org. And listen next Monday as Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers visits Jefferson Middle School in Champaign, where the school recently installed exercise equipment for students. Our media engagement initiative on health and wellness is funded in part by a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation. Well, a new study in the journal Pediatrics suggests that moms who are obese or who have diabetes are more likely to have a child with autism or another developmental problem. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
A team of researchers looked at about 1,000 mothers. Half had a child with an autism spectrum disorder. The rest had a child with a developmental delay unrelated to autism or no developmental problems. Irva Hertz-Picciotto from the University of California, Davis, says the team wanted to know whether autism was more likely if a woman was obese, diabetic, or had high blood pressure during pregnancy.
We found that if women had one of these three conditions, the increased risk for her child was about 60%.
Although the overall risk was still relatively small. These conditions also more than doubled the chance that a child would have some other developmental delay. Picciotto, whose study appears in the journal Pediatrics, says it appears that obesity and diabetes are affecting early brain development. That could be because they tend to cause inflammation in developing tissues. But she says another possibility is that obesity and diabetes reduce the nutrients reaching the fetus.
We're talking about a fetal brain that could be, in fact, suffering from hypoxia, which is sort of lack of oxygen.
Picciotto says the findings are especially troubling because obesity and diabetes are on the rise, and so is the number of children diagnosed with autism. Government figures show that a third of women of childbearing age are obese and that one child in 88 now has an autism spectrum disorder. John Hamilton, NPR News.
This fall, visit England and Wales, locations made famous in Last of the Summer Wine, Downton Abbey, and more, including Agatha Christie's home on the coast of South Devon. Does American history suit you? Well, travel in private vintage train cars on our Civil War train. This September's itinerary includes important southern battlefields and discussions with historian Anthony Pitch. Information is at will.illinois.edu/willtravel or call 217-333-7300.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 9th of April, 2012. It was on this day, 1865, General Robert E. Lee surrendered to General Ulysses S. Grant, effectively ending the Civil War. Lee's and Grant's armies had converged in Appomattox, Virginia. Fighting began at dawn. Within a few hours, Lee realized that his troops were outnumbered and surrounded, and his choice was to carry on a guerrilla war or surrender with dignity. He said to his staff, "There is nothing left for me to do but to go and see General Grant, and I would rather die 1,000 deaths." But he dressed up in a crisp new uniform, his red silk sash, gloves, a ceremonial sword. He thought he might be taken as a prisoner of war as he rode his horse, traveler, to the front lines under a flag of truce in full view of the Union Army. Asked for a meeting with Grant, that he wanted to discuss the question of surrender. So there was a ceasefire, and when Grant got the news, he sent word to Lee that he, Lee, should choose the time and place for a meeting. They found an abandoned brick house in town. Lee came in alone. General Grant came with a dozen of his generals and officers. They reminisced about the Mexican-American War, and then Grant brought up the subject of surrender. After the terms had been written and signed, Robert E. Lee rode back to his camp, and his soldiers were lined up alongside the road. They were cheering for him. He began to cry, and men reached out and patted his horse as he rode past. Here's a poem for today by Wesley McNair, entitled Old Guys. Driving beyond a turn in the mist of a certain morning, you'll find them beside a men-at-work sign, standing around with their caps on like penguins, all bellies and bills. They'll be watching what the yellow truck is doing and how. Old guys know trucks, having spent days on their backs under them, or cars. You've seen the gray face of the garage mechanic lying on his pallet, old before his time, and the gray as he turns his wrench, looking up through the smoke of his cigarette around the pupil of his eye. This comes from concentrating on things the rest of us refuse to be bothered with, like the thickening line of dirt in front of the janitor's push broom as he goes down the hall, or the same 10 eyelets Inspector Number 4 checks on the shoe, or the box after box the newspaper man brings to a stop in the morning dark outside the window of his car. Becoming expert in such details is what has made the retired old guy behind the shopping cart at the discount store appear so lost. Beside him, his large wife, who's come through poverty and starvation of feeling hungry for promises of more for less, knows just where she is and where and who she is sitting by his side a year or so later in the hospital as he lies stunned by the failure of his heart or lung. Your father is what she calls him, wearing her permanent expression of sadness,